session number 24567, Reel 3.
Mr. Broomfield, Reel 3. We were talking about the time when you were with 57 Company, Royal Army Service Corps, based at Colchester, but in August you were up at a territorial camp at Weybourne. Now, anything happened there? Or what? Because you were recalled from there. Can you tell us what exactly happened?
Yeah, I was at Weybourne. There were two of us. The other one was at Stiffkey. And we used to have to take any ill people wanted treatment down to Colchester from Weybourne and Stiffkey. We'd pick them up, you know, there'd be their ordinary sick parade with their own doctors there, and if they wanted them going down to the army hospital at Colchester, we used to take them there and stay there till they were ready to come back, bring them back night times. And then we had a very good racket. We used to take it in turns. We would take them into Cromer because there were no buses or anything. And I've gone from Weybourne with 24 people in the back, 6 months a time. And we did that right up till, well, I think it was around about the last day of August that we that the camps closed down. They went back to Sheffield and Coventry. We went back to, we took the ambulances back to Colchester and collecting the lorry again. And then the first job I had then after that was we went to Coventry, Birmingham. About six of us, I think.
This is before the war started?
Just before. And we collected every type of motorbike you could think of. BSAs, aerials, beautiful ones.
Motorcycles, yeah.
Brought them all back to Colchester, to our workshops and saw them. Just spray them with the old army paint.
So they were requisitioned?
Oh yeah, they were commandeered by the army. Okay, I came back with nearly 30 brand new motorbikes on the back. Or each one of us did. And then on the Sunday morning, our company then was made up. In peacetime, we were 15 drivers only. And they called up all the regular reservists. We had all old reservists. We were still, some of them had done 15 years in the army. Just gone out on reserve.
So what were these old boys like? Well, relative to you then.
To us. Well, I suppose some of them, I know the chap who was my section sergeant then was 42. He was when we went to France. They came back in, made the company up to full strength. I think we were about, around about 280. Full strength company, and we had all commandeered coal lorries, brewers lorries, I don't know what, anything they could get hold of it. That's what, and we, war was declared on Sunday morning, and it...
What do you remember of that? Did you hear the, you know, what did you feel?
Never heard any of it.
What did you think about the outbreak of war?
It didn't register, really,
So they called up the reservists?
They called up the reservists. And
had they changed the name of your unit yet?
No. They changed the name of our unit. We were then, instead of being 57 Company, we became the 4th Division Petrol Company. RASC. And 21 Company, which had been our driving school, became 4th Div Ammunition Company. And the other company, which was at the clerks and the butchers and all that, 59 Company, they became 4th Div Supply Column. And that's what we went to France as. We left Colchester at 1 o'clock that afternoon with all our vehicles and everything, and going via Oxford, around Oxford bypass, was the first time I had a BSA, 500 BSA, and I did 100 miles an hour around the Oxford bypass. First time I'd ever. And we got to Newport in Wales that night, and that was the day war was declared. We landed in Newport. They dumped us in a park, tent, and I can't quite remember whether we went the next day or the day after that. But I think we landed in France, Saint-Nazaire we went into, on the 10th of September.
Now what do you remember of the crossing?
Bloody terrible. I was just sick, I could have died, I wouldn't have minded.
What about getting the vehicles aboard? How was that all done?
Well, they got them on board, and we got them off at Saint-Nazaire, and then from there, the first day we drove up from Saint-Nazaire to just outside of Paris, Saint-Denis, something like that. And then from there we went on up to just outside of Lens. We stayed there in an old brewery for 2 or 3 months.
Now what do you remember of that time in Lens? What was your billet like in the brewery?
Right opposite the brewery in the house with a French family. Very not quite nice. And he was an old First World War veteran.
How many were there in the billet?
Only two of us, me and another. Me and the OC's driver.
And what was the accommodation like in the billet? How did they treat you?
Oh, they didn't have to feed us or anything like that. They only just, have somewhere to sleep. That's all. We were eating all our food in the old brewery opposite where we got our vehicles. But it was very basic. It was only a country cottage more or less. We just had a room, two beds in it.
It's just where you slept, really, then?
Yeah, that's all, only where we slept.
Now, describe to me how your unit was organised at the time and what vehicles you had. Because I'm not quite sure what a petrol company does,
Well, what we used to do, we had the four tins about that square, full of petrol, and they'd be in a cardboard box.
About a foot square,
and about that's so deep. I think they used to hold about 4 gallons, and they'd be in twos, in that car, with the wire around them. We used to load up.
No, hang on. You were describing the unit. What was the unit consist of?
Well, consisted of a HQ company, or HQ section rather, and then there was one, two.
What would be in the HQs?
Well, it would be the OC, the quarter sergeant major, the quarter bloke, and the adjutant. That would then he'd probably be. I think there was a section sergeant. The corporal, well, obviously. And then there was the OC's driver, and the OC had a motorcyclist, which was me. And there was a Ben gun carrier. We had a I've got a photograph of them, yeah. Cooks, the cooks, they're all in the HQ section. And then there was one, two, three, four. Four working sections.
And what was in each working section?
In each working section would be, there would be a captain would be section commander, and this captain would probably have a lieutenant, a second lieutenant. He'd have his sergeant, lance sergeant, few corporals, probably about 25, 30 drivers. And he'd have his workshop people, a mechanic.
How many vehicles?
He would probably have, I think each section used to have around about, oh no, he'd have more than 20, he'd probably have best part 50 drivers or more. Because he'd have about 25 three-ton vehicles.
These would be, you said they were mixed, they were all sorts?
Oh, we had everything. We had a lot of Charrington's coal lorries, we had lots of brewery lorries, anything, what they could commandeer. They probably had, each of the sections had a couple of the old army Thornycrofts or Albions, what we brought from Colchester with it. There'd be each of the section commanders had a car, staff car. They were the little the OCs was a Humber Snipe they had in those days, and most of the white horse had Morris or something like that, Morris Oxford or anything they could get hold of. But
so that was how the organisation was. Now you were with headquarters.
I was the OC's dispatch rider.
Now what was your role as OC's dispatch?
Well, when we went to France, whenever he always led the way, the OC did, in his car, and I rode behind him. But whenever the OC turned off, I fell off. I dropped off there then and to shoot the sections around. Well, until the first section would come up. And when their dispatch rider came, he'd take over from me and I'd race on to catch the OC up again. But that was my what it was, as we didn't lose.
Now, had you had much practice on the motorcycle?
Oh, I had plenty of practice. I'd been through all that when I was in
Colchester. I'll come back to the actual ride. What about, so that was when you were on the route? What about when you were actually at Lens? What was your job then?
My job then was from head office, wherever the OCs, anything for any of the section officers. I used to have to take there.
Now at Lens, they'd be quite close, wouldn't they? Or was it just headquarters at Lens?
No, we were in Beauvais, a little village called Beauvais. It was on the main road from...
Oh, so when you said Lens, you mean Lens area, not Lens itself?
Oh, no, Lens area. Yeah, right next to Vimy Ridge.
So more the Arras than
that's
the Lens
right,
area.
Yeah.
But between the two?
So we were on that road between the two. That was the main the road I was thinking of, the main road between Arras and Lens.
And so your job, so the headquarters section was there, were the other sections at Beauvais?
Mostly
you weren't riding about much on that duty?
Oh no, not so much on that.
While you were there?
No, not while we were there, no.
What else were you doing? Well, no, while you were at Beauvais?
Beauvais, well, we weren't doing much, nothing was happening. We were, moving our petrol. We dump it here, and then they'd say, "Oh, you better move it somewhere else."
Now, So you weren't actually on moving the petrol?
Oh, no.
Can you describe what they were doing? You said they were in these cans, about a foot square, tied up in twos.
In cardboard boxes, yeah.
And what would they be doing? So the unit was moving the petrol. Was that what the role
was? That's right, yeah.
Where would they be moving?
As a matter of fact, we were getting so much of it was leaking. These tins were so bad. You know, you could get half a dozen of these two tins and put them up somewhere, and you could see the petrol running out of them. You go and think you're picking up what you call them. You got two empties. The petrol all run out of them.
Now, why was that? What was the problem? Was it the way you'd handled them, or were they just rubbish tins?
Rubbish tins.
What was that? Were they too thin?
They were much too thin, yeah. They were terrible tins.
What exactly was wrong with them? Did they leak the edges?
They leaked the edges. Now, I've got a German, one of them, and they're different completely.
Tell me what was better about the German one. The jerry can.
A jerry can. It's a proper can, that was.
What was better about it?
It was thicker, and you could fill them easier, and you could empty them, whereas ours, you had to knock a hole in them to get the petrol out. We hadn't got something, not a jerry can, you could lift the thing and it opened. Ours, they were sealed, completely sealed.
And your unit was basically moving this about. Where were you setting up petrol stores?
Well, we didn't have any proper places. You could say we had. If one of the other companies, we hadn't really started doing what we should be doing. Our next move was on up to Lille.
So when would that be? December? Before Christmas?
Yeah, I think it was before Christmas, yeah. We moved up to Lille. La Madeleine, if they did.
Sorry?
Lille. La Madeleine was the...
La Madeleine?
Yeah.
What was that? A village or...?
A suburb of Lille.
And where were you billeted there?
O'Shea's driver and myself, we were in a convent. We had a room in a convent.
What was that like?
Lovely, because you just had lovely old dear. Madams, mademoiselles, middle-aged lady, three of them have taught in this convent. And we had a room there. And they used to give us meals and everything. We had a lovely time. But we were a bit more. They'd taken over a garage where we got all the petrol. Well, they still stacked it round about in case of bombs or anything like that. And that's where we stayed till the balloon went up.
So you were there till May?
We were there, and then when the balloon went up.
Now, what exactly were you doing until May?
So nothing. Nothing. It was the Cold War. We were doing nothing, really. And
how did you get on with the French, then? Let's talk a bit about that.
Never much to do with them. Never had a great lot to do with them.
Did you use the estaminets?
Oh, yes. They used to.
What were they like?
You get a bottle of champagne for 10 pence. Oh, yeah, we used to use them.
What were they like? Can you describe a typical French estaminet?
Well, the typical ones in around where we were, you'd go in there, and there'd be a bar, stools, plenty of stools, and if you get beer, you can get what do you drink with a coffee?
Cognac.
Cognac, that's right. That's what that used to be the main drink, when coffee cognac.
Have you drank that?
Oh, I did.
It's quite strong.
It was terribly strong. Yeah, terribly strong.
Were you used to it?
No, I wasn't. Didn't like it either.
You still didn't drink much, really?
No, not that. I'd had my...
Did some of the men get drunk?
Oh, some used to, yeah. Some used to. But, no, we just, you know, played football matches and things like that. We did against French and things. Anything pastime, I... Until the balloon went up.
Now, what happened then?
Well, when the balloon went up, we dumped all our petrol and we troop carried. We went troop carried. We took the guards, Grenadier guards, we took in the Albert Canal.
So, what were you doing? Were you still on the motorcycle or were you driving the trucks then?
No, I was still on the motorcycle. Still on a motorcycle, still shuffling our, well, the whole company was, you know, we took in guards and one or two other infantry regiments.
So carrying the guards up to the Albert Canal in Belgium?
Albert Canal in Belgium, yeah.
What were the roads like at the time? I mean, was there any problem with refugees or German air
attacks? Oh, no, not so bad then, going
on the way up.
On the way up. It was coming back. That's when we got it.
So
it was coming back. Well, we did that. Then we came back and got some more. And then we came back. Eventually, then we came back and got our petrol. To, you know, any of the units what wanted petrol, you see, we had to supply them.
And what were you doing as CO's done off?
Well, still following him, but then eventually, it was the 15th of May, my birthday. We'd been doing this for 2 days, hadn't had any food or anything. And one of our lorries, coming back, broke down. And at the Menin Gate, and I sat with the driver with our backs against the Menin Gate, the shells going both ways over the top of us. And we had our first tin of bully beef. The first food we'd had for 2 days, and that was me 23rd birthday. That's all I had.
What was the problem with the rations? Why weren't you getting any food? Well, I mean, you were supply line people.
We were petrol. Wherever the rations were, we were going up or. They just never had time to get down and brew up or anything. And of course we broke down at the Menin Gate, so we didn't catch her. Then, the next day, the day after it.
Now is this actually, you're on the actual retreat by then?
Yeah, we were on the retreat then.
So,
yeah.
That's the first thing you remember about the retreat, is it? The Menin Gate?
That's the first thing. Well, yeah, yes, that was the first thing I... But I think it was the next day, or the day after that, but within the next 2 days, was... we came down a road. No, we were still a company. That's right, we were still a company. Because I was following the OC car. That's right, we caught up, got this lorry mended to get it back with the company. And we were coming down, came down the road, and he turned right, and I sat there, and he was gone outside, I suppose. And the next company hadn't come down. And military policeman rode up on a motorbike. So he said, "Oh, all right, I'll take over here." So I chased on, and he held up our A section to let guns go by, artillery. I caught our OC up, and I said, they all stopped him, and I said, military police have taken over. I said, they're bring guns through. And we sat down, nose to tail, just like that blasted path there. I suppose they've been a mile and up, because them roads are, well, you know what they're like. And that, they sat down there, nose to tail, not even, what you were. And Stukas came down, blew out, blew the hell.
What do you remember of that? Tell us about the Stukas.
Well, I was way out of the way, you see.
You were with the guy.
I knew what was going on, because the OC, smashing OC, was too, a really nice man. He turned around and he said, "Right, follow me." Of course, we went back to the boat. We could see all our lorries burning, blew the hell out of them. And
was that your first Stuka attack on the column?
Yeah.
And were the losses bad? I mean,
well, when we got back eventually to England, out of the company, which was about 200, I think it was about 280 all told, there were only 78 of us got back.
And so several of the drivers were
killed.
Oh,
lost a lot, killed, yeah, buried a lot. We buried a lot.
Now, what about the refugee problem? Was that a problem that was
coming on later and later.
Well, we'll come to that. So you'd lost, what proportion of the main column had been lost?
I think we must have lost. Well, I don't know whether that happened there then, that time, but it wasn't long afterwards that the company was disbanded altogether.
Tell me about that then. What happened?
Well, we hadn't got sufficient drivers not to drive anything, or vehicles to drive. We lost so many. So we made up with the Black Watch. A gang, an officer of the Black Watch, he told us that, you know, tag along with them, and that's when we were making towards Dunkirk then.
So you were attached to them?
We were attached to ourselves.
Yeah. You still had your motorcycle?
I got it then, yeah. I rode it on, and we got so far. It was before we got to the Paradigm that the military police stopped us and said, "Right, all vehicles that were left had to go into a field, smash them up, and then make to."
Do you mean Le Pan?
Yeah.
Not Le Paradis.
No, not Le Paradis. Le Pan. Le Pan. No, it was Le Pan in those days, wasn't it?
What about the refugees? When did that become a problem?
It was on the way from we caught it. The place we caught it at was a place called Killam, and that's not far out of Armentiers. That's where we'd got to when we then. It was about soon after Armentiers that we lost all our everything, had to go.
And what was the problem with the refugees? Just can you describe what state they were in and what was happening?
Well, the roads, there were hundreds of them, hundreds and hundreds. And they bundled what belongings of theirs they could take. Old push chairs, all this, all that. They were trying to make for Dunkirk, I think.
And did they block the road, or were they just on one side? I mean, did they...
No, they blocked the whole road. As a matter of fact, anyway, when we started, when we lost our vehicles, we got off the roads and went on the fields.
Was that one of the reasons you'd left the vehicles behind, because you couldn't get along the road?
Well, that's why the police had...
So what happened when you lost your vehicles. Did you destroy them?
No, the REs were doing that. They were... mine, with the motorbikes and that, mine I had to, you know, you, and anything you lay hands on, pickaxe, stick it through the tank and smash the engine, what you could of it. And the Royal Engineers were the, linking all of it up and blowing it all up. Well, everything they could lay their hands on.